I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. It is hard to get beyond the lurid details behind the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. 2 weeks ago, he went into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul to take care of personal business and was, according to Turkey's version of events, ambushed, killed, and dismembered by a team dispatched from Saudi Arabia. The Saudi government says it's investigating. The Trump administration is saying, give the Saudis time and they will tell us what happened. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said as much after meeting Saudi officials, including Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
I stress the importance of them conducting a complete investigation of the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi. And they made a commitment. They said they would do that. They said it would be a thorough, complete, and transparent investigation. We'll all see the results of that. They made a commitment that they would show the entire world the results of their investigation. They also indicated they would get this done quickly so that they could begin to answer important questions.
The pressure is on the Trump White House to hold Saudi Arabia accountable, but it's tricky. There are deep ties between Saudi Arabia and the United States. The U.S. has long relied on Saudi oil, for starters. More on that later in the program. The relationship, though, is also about money, and there's lots of it moving between the U.S. and the Saudi kingdom. So let's start by following the money. Two parts to this, Saudi money invested here in the U.S., and also how reliant Saudi Arabia is on U.S. investment. I asked Stephen Cook about that. He's with the Council on Foreign Relations.
In 2016, Mohammed bin Salman unveiled something called Vision 2030, which is this great transformation plan for the country that essentially pulls Saudi Arabia away from an economy that's reliant on petrochemicals to one that is more diversified. And the central piece of this was to make Saudi Arabia attractive to foreign investors. And they have pursued a variety of multinational companies and high-profile executives to come and take a look at Saudi Arabia and what they're doing in order to create what this plan, Vision 2030, calls an investment hub.
So in the past year, what are some of the big names in American business that the Crown Prince has kind of focused on?
Well, he's focused on Uber, on Apple, on Google, on the big tech companies that Saudi Arabia sees itself as a country that's going to be a player in the 21st century. And where are you a player? But in the tech sector. And there have been discussions with all of those big companies, also Facebook, on establishing significant presences and investments in Saudi Arabia.
So we got to remember the Crown Prince coming over to the U.S. last spring, spent 3 weeks here, or toured the Google Alphabet campus with Sergey Brin. How successful was it? Were U.S. corporate giants rushing in?
It was a very successful trip from one perspective. It was the Crown Prince's effort to translate much of what he had discussed back in Saudi Arabia and in conversations with U.S. officials and bring it to American corporate interests. And he was received extremely warmly. And there have been indications that some of these big companies have indeed wanted to invest in Saudi Arabia. And we're coming up on the big Saudi investment forum, what they call the Davos in the Desert. And there was some hope, at least on the Saudi part, that some deals would be made. In addition to these tech giants, there are other big U.S. multinationals that have wanted to do business in Saudi Arabia, not so much because Saudi Arabia itself is such a big market. As I said, it's a country of only about 30 million people, but that the Saudis have money to spend. They have passed a public-private investment law. They've passed bankruptcy laws. They've kind of opened up the doors in ways that they haven't before. Previous American investment in Saudi Arabia has really been confined to the petrochemical sector.
So here we are on the eve of Davos in the Desert. The heads of leading U.S. investment firms like BlackRock and Blackstone have decided to stay away. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon has pulled out. So have executives at Ford and MasterCard. How do we know if these pullouts are like a one-time thing before a return to business as usual?
Well, there's no way to know that it's just a one-time thing. But I suspect as the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey figure out a story that they can tell about the disappearance and presumed murder of Jamal Khashoggi, I think there's a hope on the part of the Saudis that the news cycle will turn, that the United States government will not allow the fate of one person to disrupt relations between the two countries, and that over a period of time, quietly, those American companies that believe that it's inappropriate to attend Davos in the Desert will find a way to do business with Saudi Arabia. We just don't know, however.
So if these pullouts turn out to be just symbolic and these businesses and these CEOs kind of go back into Saudi Arabia, assess the business risk they'd be facing down the road.
Well, Saudi Arabia has previously been a pretty good place for people to invest, certainly in the petrochemical industry. There have obviously been moments where people have been concerned about the stability of the region. I think the issue that American corporations need to worry about now is that after this episode with Jamal Khashoggi, one has to wonder about the leadership of the country. The narrative that Mohammed bin Salman is arrogant, impetuous, impervious to good advice seems to have been borne out by this situation. So that's, I think that's the risk. I think the Saudis would say, look, we have passed laws that make it more welcoming for businesses to come in, invest in Saudi Arabia. We are committed to pulling Saudi Arabia into the 21st century. But, you know, so far that hasn't really resulted in tremendous rush into the country.
From what you've seen, Stephen, I mean, do the current and potential U.S. investors see their choice with Saudi Arabia as coming down basically to profits versus principles?
Well, certainly principle must be playing some part in the cancellation of major American CEOs when it comes to the Davos in the desert. But of course, if you look at the history of business, it does seem that in many cases, the investment opportunity and the potential to grow their own businesses by investing in a place like Saudi Arabia seems to be irresistible.
What's making me scratch my head is this is, I mean, what you've been describing is a very deliberate charm offensive by Mohammed bin Salman to get U.S. investment into Saudi Arabia. So wouldn't it be very surprising if the Saudi government sponsored a hit on Jamal Khashoggi, if all the signs are pointing to that?
Marco, you're not the only one scratching your head. I have been walking around for days wondering why they would do something as stupid as this. But it seems that this is, in fact, what has happened. And it goes back to what people have said about Mohammed bin Salman's style, that he is arrogant, that he sees Saudi Arabia as a top-tier country. And looking around the world, he sees the Russian government bumping off people who they don't like. The Turkish government is the leading jailer of journalists in the world. The Chinese have disappeared the head of Interpol and confined a million Uyghurs. Those are Muslim Chinese in concentration camps. None of those governments have paid a price. So one can imagine the Saudis thinking that they wouldn't pay the price for killing journalists. I think it was a terrible miscalculation on their part. But one can imagine that is the way in which they perceive the world around them and their place in it.
Stephen Cook at the Council on Foreign Relations. His latest book is False Dawn, Protest Democracy and Violence in the New Middle East. Thanks very much, Stephen.
Thank you, Marco.